of sunshine, but from what I understand, it's all about to change. I see Vern's all geared up for it. Got his hat on. Man, that's a fine looking hat you're sporting right there, brother. Does that keep your wigwam? That's right. That's right. Well, did everybody get a fill in the blanks? Everybody's got one? Everybody's got an ink pen? A pencil? Something to write with? Did you get one? You need one? You created it. Good Lord. Everybody? This is a new one now. This is a new one. Now Judy's got to get one. Lord, Lord. Do you need one, Tom? Oh, they're over here. Yeah. Little Kathy has them. Oh, mercy. All right. Well, I want to back up just a little bit to page 15, Michelle. Backing up just a little bit to page 15. Because we've been talking, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about faith. And I challenged you. The last couple of times that we've been together, I've challenged you at the end of the service, at the end of the Bible study, to step out in faith, to during your week to take some step of faith, something that is maybe not your normal, but to begin to exercise your faith and grow your faith and step out in faith. And I was just wondering tonight on this nice chilly Wednesday night if anybody wants to share something that they did that was a step of faith and God met them at the point of faith. Anthony, right here.
I'm going to tell you what, I've been doing these lunches and the whole bit, and to actually go out there and see what kind of trouble this world's really in, it's devastating. You got people living in cars and I've seen death in the military. These people are actually just waiting for death. And it's really hard to understand. You try to explain to these people that, you know, God is the only way out of this.
Yeah.
And they're such on a dead past right now. We're just not, I'm seeing myself not giving enough support. And my actually, it's, if I don't pray to God, I don't have faith in what's happening, it's going to end up killing me. It's that bad out there. And so what I'm telling you folks is this. Having faith, we have one living God only. And if we don't utilize that and use the fact that we have this in our pockets and we're not utilizing it out there, shame on you. These people can be helped. If it takes more than just one or two of us out there. It really does. It's so sad. People don't need to be down like this. They don't need to be. So, anybody has any ideas how to reach, you know? I've thought about this, calling welfare services on some of these people. They're that bad. And I don't want this on my head. The next time I go back there, then they're all than they are really dead. It's devastating. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, yeah. I have so much faith in the Lord. He helped me.
Yeah. He has.
And there's no reason why he can't help these other people as well.
Right. Yep.
I'm just asking everybody to just keep... It seems like it's not even a good cause to go for, but it actually is.
Yeah, it is. Sure it is.
It's the best thing. So I just don't want nobody to give up. Because we do have the Lord. We have faith in the Lord. Because he says that he will help us if we ask.
That's what he said.
And he does do that. It's keeping me alive.
Mm.
And that's all I really have to say. I say thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The other day I was in the gym and I was getting ready to go. Got a text to go get my medication at the pharmacy. Went to the pharmacy. There was one of the people that we've taken a sandwich to that has part of his foot gone, had an infection on it. And he needed a script. He's diabetic. He doesn't get to eat much, so he got a couple lunches. He was sleeping down next to where I live, leaning against a transformer or something that's to try to stay warm for him and his dog. And they were shivering real bad. All he had on was a Pendleton and pants. So hearing him being diabetic, he needed some things from Rick's Medical up in Roseburg. So I ended up talking to him because he had no way. I loaded him up, went up there and got what he needed. Gave him some more food, hooked him up with a sleeping bag. One of Anthony's jackets and sleeping bag and the jacket I had, so he had something to stay warm. Took him to a friend's house so he could further take care of himself.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Good job. Somebody else. Judy?
I just want to tell you guys that last week I met a young man. He's the grandson of one of the ladies that lives in that apartment where I'm at. And he was talking and saying how wonderful it was that these guys have been coming around and giving them the sandwiches and stuff. And I just had to praise God that I know those guys and I know where they're from and keep coming.
Amen. Amen. See, we got to remember that Jesus said, even if you just give a cup of cold water in his name, whatever you've done unto the least of these, you've done it unto him. And so I think it's awesome. Anybody else tonight? Yes, sir.
Homeless people. I was homeless for about a week, and I've come from Florence. You guys don't know me, and I moved in up here at the retirement center on the 11th of October, and it got to the point I couldn't afford my rent down there in Florence anymore. They're raising it 10% a year, and I'm an insurance salesman, and after the COVID thing hit, it was real hard to get people to come and talk to me about Medicare, and they wouldn't come to the seminars. I didn't know how to make money. So things were on the decline, and I moved in with my daughter, and her husband doesn't particularly like that. So after 4 months, I was asked to leave, and that was on a Wednesday at the end of September. And the day after that, honestly, day and a half after that, I heard from the retirement center here. But, you know, I was living, I didn't know what I was going to do. And now I have a home to live in. And what I want to say, my experience has been not only is God faithful.
Yes.
But he doesn't do things until you know it's his hand on it.
Yeah.
It's like the last minute. You've exhausted all of your resources. You don't know what you're going to do, and you think you're praying to a stone or to, you know, a metal ceiling, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, everything changes in a moment.
yeah. moment.
And you know it's a miracle, and they happen all the time, by the way.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Good job, buddy. Somebody else. Yes, sir.
Well, myself and my mother were in a car wreck, and we were in the ER. And we're sitting there in the ER, and the Lord laid on my heart to help this man that was in there. He looked very undernourished. And so I got up and went to the machine and pulled him out some Smokies and some other stuff and some soda pop and gave it to him while he wolfed it all down and everything. I was able to share with him a little bit. And my mom looked at me like, what are you doing? I said, God put it on my heart, and if he says do it, I do it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. It's called obedience.
Yeah, yesterday by faith, I thought, well, maybe I'll go golfing. But before I go, we went to the Bi-Mart in Roseburg to buy some stuff for the cat. My wife just got that little kitten. So I got up to the cash register and I put my credit card down there and it didn't go through. And I thought, well, there's something wrong here. Try it again. Well, it still didn't work. So I got this other credit card, which is good for $1,000. And
that's
I've been working on that one. So I didn't know if there was enough in there to pay for what I got at the cash register. So anyway, the other one worked. Now, I question whether I got enough money. Should I go golfing yesterday? I might have enough to go golfing, but I don't know about getting breakfast. So I thought, well, I'll go to the Carl Jr. and get two for $5, and
there
that'll take care of it.
Yeah.
So I took off, and I thought, well, maybe I can get some oatmeal at the pizza place in Sutherland. So I pulled in there in a perfect parking spot with my sign on the car right next to the door. People coming and going can see that sign.
And what's
and
your sign say?
Hat, I'm wearing my hat that says, America, repent or perish. And I goes in there and I ordered the smallest meal I could order because I didn't know if I was going to have enough money to last till Friday because Friday's payday. Anyway, I goes up to the cash register and he's... Guys come walking out of that back room with Bibles under their hand. They say, oh, I like your hat. I said, well, if you will pay for my breakfast, I'll get you one. So he paid for my breakfast. And I went out to the car, and all his buddies followed him out to my car. And all his buddies wanted a hat. So I sold a couple more hats. And now I had enough money to go golfing and By faith, God took care of the whole business.
Isn't that so?
And today, I was really froze. I was really cold. I was so cold on that golf course, my feet were just about sizzled and cold. I was shivering and shivering, and I thought, I'm not going to come out here and golf anymore when it's frost on the pumpkin. Today, Marge and I started hitting the secondhand store looking for a warm vest. And I went into the secondhand store up here, and they had a real nice one. And I thought, well, it's a little too bulky. And they wanted like $20-$25 for it.
That's a lot of hats.
That's a vest. So we went down to the other secondhand store and found this one, and it's an Arctic one. It's a really warm one.
Oh, yeah.
And they let me have it for $7. And I still got enough money to last till Friday. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Somebody else. Oh, man. Hold your horses. If you're going to say it, it's important.
No, I can't say it. God wants us and expects us to be joyful.
Yes.
And I am on all over joy here lately. I don't know what the deal is, but everything I do, it's going to be joyful. And so when we hear a story like that, you know, I don't care the circumstances around that and whatever, but the joy of the Lord
yes.
comes into that and everything he's done has brought him joy. He, in turn, has brought us joy.
Right.
We have laughed. We said Sunday, laughter and joy keeps us warm.
Yeah.
Okay? There's joy in the house of the Lord.
Amen. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And a broken spirit dries up the bone. We don't want no dried up bones around here. Amen. Anybody else before I move on? You point, what are you pointing at back there? Wow. Well, it's interesting when you by faith allow other people the microphone. Amen. That's sometimes for a pastor is a step of faith. Notice I hung on to it most of the time. But here's the thing about faith. And Laverne, I loved what you said. I was like, where in the world is he going with this golf story and being at Bi-Mart and buying cat food? And then when he said, if you'll buy my breakfast, that's a step of faith, man. I'm going into the restaurant. I don't know if I can afford the thing, but faith, listen, faith never gives up. And that's the thing I want to really stress tonight is that faith never gives up. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says that by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, was moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Isn't that amazing? God divinely warned him of the coming events and God warned that it was going to rain. It had never rained before. That he's building this boat in the middle of a desert. It's never rained before. Ever. And here's Noah out here building this boat. It's an amazing thing. There's nothing like a huge boat sitting on dry land to make a point. You know, and those without faith faced the judgment of God, and those with faith, those in Noah's family, they were saved. And as a result, Noah became the heir of the righteousness, which is according to this verse, according to faith. And so Noah was the first one in the Bible to be called righteous. Isn't that amazing? And I love what Oswald Chambers said. He said, the life of faith is not a life of mounting up with wings, but a life of walking and not fainting. Faith never knows where it's being led, which is what you were hitting on. Faith never knows where it's being led, but loves and knows the one who is leading. Sometimes we really do, it's like the very bottom of the bottom, and we don't know what we're going to do, and then God shows up and brings the answer. And I love the way your story ended, Laverne, was that not only did you get your breakfast out of the deal, but God even bumped it up by allowing you to sell some more of those hats to some of those other guys there. And so God is just making a way, because I really believe that God wants to bless his people. I believe it with all of my heart. He wants to give us the desires of our heart. At 93 years old, are you're back to 92 now? 92. All right. I'm going to write that down. 92. But wanting to go out and play golf in the cold. But that's your desire. You get enjoyment and you testify out there when you're on the golf course. And so God was showing you how by faith you're going in the restaurant by faith. I think I got enough money, but after I eat it, what are they going to take it? They can't take it from me. I mean, you know, and you end up, God gives, make sure you have enough money so you can go and play golf by selling these other hats. And I tell you, in my opinion, that's the faith of God, that faith wants, that God wants to do. And so another thing that I really want for us to understand tonight is that faith gives us victory over the world and its problems. Faith gives us victory over the world and its problems. Now, how many of you know that we still have to fight? We still have to go through some things. Sometimes we still have to walk through some things. But when we're walking with the Lord, the walk is worth walking. Does that make any sense? In 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes in Jesus, believes rather, that Jesus is the Son of God?" Does anybody besides me fight battles that you feel like you fought? It's like you fight them at least once a week. You're fighting the same battle over and over and over and over and over and over. And you pray and you seek God and you're like, "God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to fight this battle anymore. It just keeps coming up over and over. Can I just get victory in this thing?" And we wonder, what in the world? God, why don't you just do? This is me talking. This is me praying. God, why don't you just deliver me of this mess so that I don't have to deal with it anymore? Anybody else pray like that? Because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of battling with this same thing over and over and over. And God just says, just keep walking. Just keep fighting the good fight of faith. Hello. And so we have to keep doing that. This word in these verses here in verse 5, it says, "Who is he who overcomes?" And you've got to understand, we have misrepresented the church. Pastors and evangelists and the apostolic ministries and the prophetic ministry, we have misrepresented the church. And for too long, the church has been portrayed as a cruise ship. You know, just get on the good ship lollipop. Hello. This is not the good ship lollipop. This is not the love boat. It's a battleship. It's a ship for war. And we have to understand that this word overcomes, he who overcomes the world, it implies a military conquest. We're like, "Oh, I got saved and I got baptized and I'm just floating along until Jesus comes." Well, listen, he never called you to just float along. He called us to join ranks. And by faith, we need to be a part of what God's doing. The world looks at the commands of God as impossibility and limiting and burdensome. But as Christians, we know that obeying God cannot be and is not burdensome, because the power within us is there because I have a desire to please Him. That's my desire. And when I mess up and when I fail and when I fall down, God said by His Spirit, He picks me back up. I love Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24, where it talks about the steps of a righteous man being ordered of the Lord. And though he stumble, anybody stumble? When you stumble, the arm of the Lord, the Bible says, He upholds us. We're not utterly cast down. See, faith gives you and I, as believers, the victory that has already overcome the world. How many of you realize tonight that thing that you're fighting, Jesus has already won that battle?
And he is just allowing us to walk through that and to learn a few things on our way through it. I used to read the 23rd Psalm, and it was years and years after I became a Christian, even after I was in ministry, that I saw the word through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I, in my mind, I was always just going into it. Just going into it. But no, it says we're going through that valley. And when we get through the valley, what's there? He's prepared a table. Come on, man. Faith provides the power source and the means to victory. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As believers, we can trust in God, and in Christ, it enables us to participate in the victory that Christ has won for us through His sacrifice and through His resurrection. So as strong as these powers may seem, the battle has already been decided. The battle has already been won for you and I who trust in God. Isn't that amazing? So,
it says in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, God, who cannot lie. And if you read the whole Bible, we win.
Oh, hey.
It says in that verse, it says that we have eternal life through God who cannot lie.
Yeah.
I love that. God will never lie to us.
He ain't going to lie. If He said it in His Word, you can write checks on it. You can stick your card in the machine because it's going to go through. That faith card will go through. That confidence cannot be overcome by any power in the world, because John already stated in 1 John 4 and 4, He who is in you. So that's the question that we have to settle and deal with. Who's in me? He who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And for us as children of God, we've got the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling and residing within us. There's nothing we can't do. It's a done deal. All we have to do is walk it out. We got to walk it out. But this is important for us to understand. What exactly did he mean when he spoke of overcoming the world? Well, he meant going against the flow. He meant going against the flow. He meant doing the will of God in a culture, in a society that is bent on doing its own thing. He didn't make a mistake when he created Adam and Eve. I was in a discussion this past week, and people are still somewhat confused about their gender. Listen, just drop your pants and it'll clear it right up for you. I mean, that's pretty crude, but that's the truth. God made Adam and Eve. Nobody, nothing in between. So how do we as believers or disciples overcome? We overcome by understanding our destiny or our identity and our destiny, and utilizing our resources as children of God. Church, we got to realize and we've got to understand that everything you and I need, God has provided. Everything that we need, God has provided. We need to understand that. We need to understand who I am in Christ. Who am I in this world? Well, I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world. I should feel out of place. I should be out of place in this world. This world's not my home. My identity. I need to understand my identity and utilize the resources I have as children. That's number one. Number two, how do we as believers or disciples overcome? By trusting. We don't have a problem trusting God when everything's going well. When we've got a roof over our head. When we've got food on the table. When we've got clothes on our back. We don't have a problem trusting God. It's when we don't have those things that all of a sudden the questions start coming up. We need to trust God to guide us in our daily routines. We need to trust God to guide us in our daily routines. Number three, how do we as believers or disciples overcome? We overcome by focusing. That's the third one. By focusing on Christ as our example and pioneer of faith. Focus on Christ as our example. You want to know how to overcome battles? Look at Jesus. You know when I fail? You and I fail as soon as, like you said, and like you said, and like the rest of you all said, when I quit looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, and start looking at that reflection in the mirror, and start trusting that reflection in the mirror, the one in the mirror will lead you astray every time. We got to learn to focus on Christ as our example. And so through the ultimate battle, even though it's been already won in Christ, every conflict that you and I face day by day, we have to face with the Spirit's power. I've got to face every battle looking unto Jesus. Go back and this week and get in your Bibles and go to the Gospels and begin to look at when Jesus was being tempted for those 40 days. And every time the enemy come at Jesus, every time without fail, Jesus hit him right back with the Word of God. Every time the enemy came, Jesus hit him right back with the Word. Be mindful that the enemy used the Word out of context to try and get, but Jesus knew who he was. He understood his identity and he trusted God and he was focusing on that at being our example. And so the principal element in repentance is a change of mind and a change of attitude about Christ, a change from an unbelieving and a rejecting attitude to a believing and an accepting attitude. I believe and accept everything that Jesus has done in my life. I believe and accept, even though I've blown it over and over and over, I believe and I accept that there's still forgiveness for me, that there's still redemption for me, that God still has a purpose and a plan for my life. We have to remember, church, that the enemy, his job is to rob, steal, and destroy. To kill, steal, and destroy. True faith in Christ Jesus involves the confession and the forsaking of sin. Does that mean we won't sin? No. But when we do sin, we need to forsake it, we need to say no to it, and we need to confess it unto God. God, forgive me. True repentance and faith are inseparable. True repentance and faith are inseparable. They are mutually dependent on each other. Repentance and faith are dependent upon each other. So have you been? Are you exercising? Are you walking in faith? Are you walking by faith? Because let me remind you as I wrap this up tonight, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Have you ever wondered about that? Have you ever wondered why it's impossible to please God without faith? Because you can't serve God if you're walking by sight. He wants us to trust Him every step of the way. And if you're walking by your own sight, you can't please God. You've got to be taking some steps of faith. You've got to be stepping out of your comfort zone and allowing God's Holy Spirit to bless you, to give you wisdom, to impart into you. And at the end of the day, we just got to say, thank you, Lord. I'm trusting you. Even though I've messed up, sometimes we mess up and miserably. At least I do. Just saying. And the enemy's right there to say, who do you even think you are? And that goes right back to understanding my identity. In the natural, it's not uncommon to be sinning. But in the supernatural, we come out of that place of common sin to a place of standing against sin, confessing sin, trusting God to guide me, focusing on Christ as my example. That's the challenge, really, for each one of us as a church, as members of the body of Christ. Understand my identity. If you didn't get anything else tonight out of this Bible study, get this. Understand, overcome by understanding your identity and utilizing the resources that we have as children of God. By the way, if you don't know this yet, the resources are of God in your life and in my life are exhaustible. You're not going to exhaust them. His resources are abounding. So understand, trust that God is going to guide us in our daily life, in our daily routines. Trust that God will guide you. In fact, when you get out of bed in the morning, ask God, Lord, guide me today. And then listen to what He says. And then focus on the example that Christ has given us as our example as we walk in faith. Amen? Amen. I hope you guys are getting something out of this that is lasting, that will help you out there. Because you're going to, you know, Anthony, you talked about talking with the homeless people that are out there and giving them a sack lunch. It's important that they understand that you're not just there giving them a lunch. You're there meeting a need, and you're doing it because God has sent you out there to do that. God has put this lunch in your hand and made provision of it so that you can be a blessing. That God wants those people to know that there is more to their life than living in a car under a bridge or whatever they're doing out there, huddled up to a transformer trying to stay warm. God has a purpose and a plan for their life, and that is not the end of it.
Can I address it as Harvest Christian Outreach?
It's what we're doing. It's what everybody has to understand those things. Understand, trust, and focus. Amen? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these precious disciples that you have gathered in this place tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to comprehend and understand your word. And Father, as we begin to look very closely at sin and at what sin is and those kinds of things next week, Lord, I just pray, God, that you'd prepare your people. Help us to understand who we are and trust that you're our guide and focus on our Savior as our example. Lord, help us to do that this week, and I'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your week. Bring somebody to church on Sunday.